So today, I've got maybe an unusual topic for you, maybe one that you've already heard some things about as well. It's entitled, What is the Kingdom of God? And the Kingdom of God is everywhere. It's not a place. It is a concept. It's God's rule. It's something that happens over a place. And that might seem like an unusual subject to cover, but let me ask you this question. If I was to say, what was Jesus' biggest teaching when he was here on planet Earth? You might say, love your neighbor. You might say, well, he was the perfect moral teacher. You might say, well, he was here to be a sacrifice by dying on a cross. You might say he came to show what love was, and he preached love and he showed love. But actually, one of the biggest things that Jesus came to do was to explain to us and release the kingdom of God for us. And all four gospel writers chose to not represent Jesus as just being a teacher, just being a moral leader, but to actually be a prophet. A prophet whose first and main teaching in all of the gospels was pretty much these words, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. You might not have picked that up, but actually, all four Gospels have that right at the very beginning of Jesus' teaching. The big point of Jesus' teaching actually is all about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is mentioned 53 times by Jesus, and the kingdom of heaven, which Matthew uses in place of the kingdom of God, is mentioned another 32 times. So that's at least 85 times where directly Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. It's also in so many of the parables that Jesus taught about. So many of them. And if you've been watching our parable series on a Wednesday night, you'll know very recently we've even had the kingdom of God is like a wedding banquet. The kingdom of God is like the vineyard workers and loads more that Jesus just keeps talking about. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. The kingdom here refers to that action of who God is and his rule. It's like the best way of describing it might be the reign of God rather than the kingdom of God, because we live in the kingdom of the United Kingdom. And we live with a government and we live with a king. And you might go to work where your boss doesn't have a kingdom, but he's sort of in the same sort of place. And so, actually, this is something that's completely different. All it really is about God's rule happening on earth right where we're at. And God's rule isn't defined by a landmass. It isn't defined by a government. It isn't defined by our culture. It isn't defined by what might be woke or PC or anything else. God's rule and God's kingdom is its only limits are what God puts on it for himself, which is just enormous because it's heavenly. So this being really important, if you want to grasp just how important the kingdom of God is for Jesus, just think back to, he gave us the Lord's Prayer, and at the start of it, he said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Next line says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, there's so much kingdom in the midst of absolutely everything that God does. And we need to understand his kingdom rule, what it is and what it means to us. So when Jesus was talking about the idea of kingdom to the Jewish people, they probably struggled with the idea about this kingdom of God. I'm guessing they did because Jesus gave them parable after parable after parable after parable after parable. So if it was dead easy for them to get, he would have just said it once. So this whole concept mustn't be that easy to grasp and probably wasn't for the Jewish people. Now, they were living under Roman rule. So they're living in a Roman kingdom. They're living with the Jewish leaders and the Jewish rules. They're living with Mosaic law. There's no wonder that they found this a little bit hard to really understand. We might do exactly the same because we've got laws of our land. We've got laws and family values that we have. We've got cultural acceptance norms that we feel like we've got to live under. And we've got what God wants us to do too. So maybe it's right for us to have a quick look about what is his kingdom and how does that really look and what did God want it to look like. So we've already said that God is in heaven. Great. So in the beginning, you open your Bible on page one and you've got God's rule. And then when he created the earth, there was God's rule. Because who was hovering over the water? God. Who made everything be? God. Where did everything come from? God. Did we have anything to play in the middle of that? Nope. Our Heavenly Father was in full control of absolutely every aspect of creation. And then God gave us permission to rule on the earth at the end of Genesis 1. He said, go forth. But really, it's probably best to imagine that sentence as being, he gave us the task of being gardeners on planet Earth, caretakers, people who are responsible for fulfilling what he'd already set in motion. Basically, we were the local authority on planet Earth. And then, of course, humans decided we knew best. So after God had said, go forth, multiply, subdue the earth, we thought we knew it all. We wanted all the knowledge, all the power. We ate the apple. Wham, bam, we've fallen and we need Jesus to get back into that right relationship with God. We needed to get back into the right rule and kingdom of God. We had it. We walked perfectly with God in the Garden of Eden. He was there with us. No corruption, no problems, just doing what God wanted us to be doing, problem free. The kids in Sunday school today are doing self-control. Every diet works perfectly if you've got perfect self-control. Everything we ever want to do works perfectly with perfect knowledge. Just as humans, we're not very good, are we, at getting perfect knowledge or perfect self-control, and we let other stuff get in the way. Okay, we're going to go back to the kingdom as Jesus taught it. So I want to go back to the beginning of the Gospels and read that phrase to you again. So Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Mark 1:15 says, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. In Luke 4, verse 43, it said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. And in John 3:3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That's Jesus at the start of his ministry in all of those gospels, actually saying, sort yourself out, get rid of sin, get rid of self, and start to do things the way that God wants you to do them, under kingdom rule. So who is Jesus to say this? Well, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says again to them in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, if that doesn't sound like a supreme ruler, I don't know what is. Jesus got given in the end all authority, heaven, earth, and everything in between. And he gave us a command, didn't he? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Well, if that isn't a command for what we're supposed to do by somebody who has all rule and all authority, whether we think we've got it in our own lives or not, in the end, God does. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. More than anybody that could ever try and bully us out of it. And once we understand that Jesus has full control, it should be something that releases us into understanding the kingdom of God in a whole different way. Because when you've got Jesus by your side, he's never going to leave you, and he's got all authority. That sounds like perfection to me. That sounds like, yep, everywhere I go, every door is going to be open, everything I need is going to be there, everything that I could possibly want, no mistakes, because the person who designed the plan is right there with me. Do you think we're going to be carrying much burdens when we're with Jesus? No, because cast your burdens on him. Actually, everything that you need. So Jesus, he's somebody who gives you what? Peace, Yep, so you with Jesus, you've got perfect peace. He's going to fill you with joy everlasting. Yep, he's going to give you hope in abundance. He's going to let you be free. Actually, I quite like the idea of this. If I had to choose now, do I want to walk under Jesus' kingdom rule with all of that freedom or not? Why did we ever eat the apple? Why did we ever think we knew best when actually we had it so good? And the truth of today's message is, we can have it so good right now because we do have God living with us every single day. And he is still the kingdom ruler because all authority has been given to Jesus. Okay, I want to spend a little time looking at how Jesus gave us some of these parables. And there is a book in the Bible called Matthew, and there's a full chapter of Matthew 13 that just has Jesus talking about kingdom parables. So if you've got your Bible, this is something you're going to want to look at probably in depth at another time as well. So the first one is the parable of the sower. When Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, he starts off with an ever so common phrase, which is, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, it's funny, isn't it? And Matthew 13:11, he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. That's all in the parable of the sower. What's that got to do with the parable of the sower? Well, when Jesus explains it in Matthew 13:23, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the person who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Okay, so that's one good thing about the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven like? Good seed lands in our lives, blossoms, becomes something incredible. Next, we've got the parable of the weeds. Matthew 13:24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. It had weeds, they got added by other people, and God let them grow up. I wish sometimes God would get rid of all the weeds in my garden so I didn't have to weed them. I wish he'd get rid of all the weeds in my life so I didn't have to discipline them. But, you know, that's what God does. And in the end, God bound together all the weeds and he burnt them and got rid of them because the only thing he wanted in the end was the perfect crop that he'd planted. Not the extra stuff that somebody else had put in, not the stuff that we wanted to grow there, just the things that God wanted to grow there. Next up, we have the parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Great. Mustard seed, tiny little seed, but it grows to be a really important tree in a garden that housed lots of life around it. So that's what the kingdom of God's like, something really tiny. You can also think about the mustard seed of faith because it's got such a strong link to it. Actually, this tiny little bit of faith that we've got in the kingdom of God can support so much and become really important. Then you've got the parable of the yeast. In Matthew 13, verse 33, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. 60 pounds of flour is a lot. It's not what you make in your bread maker at home. It's a very, very significant amount of flour, but a small amount of yeast worked through everything, massaged through everything, being put into every single part of that yeast, worked all the way through, and then the whole of that dough will have changed into usable, eatable, tasty bread, I'm sure, or something that they were making. Maybe cake. We'll go for cake because that's always a better one than just bread, isn't it? But that's the same as the kingdom of heaven is. Just a little bit of a kingdom of heaven worked through every single part of our life changes absolutely everything that we've got. Even if it's a massive amount of life, a tiny amount of something from God can totally transform us. Then you've got the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. This is in Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Those are really just symbolizing how incredibly important finding and getting and keeping the kingdom of heaven should be for us. It's not just something that we do as a little addition to our lives. It's something that every bit of value that we have, everything that we can muster, we should strive towards and put life towards, putting God in his right place in our lives and being in the right place with him. Okay, next. The last one. This is the parable of the net. Matthew 13:47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, and then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw away the bad ones. That's very similar to that one with weeds, isn't it? But actually, God's kingdom is just going to cover everything. We can then choose to be good fish in it or bad fish that get thrown out at the end of the time. Well, there you go. You should know everything there is to know about the kingdom of heaven now, because Jesus gave us a full parable about it. And it's still really confusing. So I get that God rules, and I get that he's got some little things around that that are important, and I get that he's trying to convey those principles to us. So where is it? Where is the kingdom of God? Because we live in the United Kingdom. We know where our borders are. We've got maps. And every country likes to have maps. They're a place of power and a place of control and a way of influencing and saying, this is my dominion. Jesus was asked about this in Luke 17. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's actually in your presence. It's who you are, and you carry it with you because of who we are in God. When we accept Jesus, we become part of his kingdom. We become part of his kingdom ruling. John 3:3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And that's really hard for us to want to say, because you want to try and explain something to somebody who doesn't know and can't understand. If you want to know more about it, well, do what Jesus did, and that is pray about it. Connect with God, honor God, put God in the right place, get saved. Because that the Lord's Prayer, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So kingdom all starts actually with you and me, because it's in our midst. So we've got to seek first, Tony read this earlier, seek first his kingdom, seek first his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Actually, it's supposed to be the first thing that we ever do before you brush your teeth is seek first the kingdom of God and seek first living right, because those are the things that God wants us to do. It's a decision that we need to have to first follow Jesus. Let him be our ruler. He's not just our manager. He's not just the boss. He's not just the governor or a local consultant. He's not even the king of our country. We need to actively decide to put our full trust in him. And once we do that, we'll realize that God chose us. He chose you and he chose me. And he rescued us. And he rescued us from something incredible that was actually called the dominion of darkness. The opposite of the kingdom of God is actually called the dominion of darkness. In Colossians 1:13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he lives. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Which is incredible that actually God rescued us not just into the kingdom, but out of something that was going to just destroy us and be dark for us. So we need to actually then do what this king has asked us to do. Excuse me a minute. And that is, go and make disciples. Go make disciples of all people, because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven and earth, has told us to go and do something. If King Charles walked through the door now and asked us to do something, we'd probably think pretty seriously about doing it. If Rishi Sunak, the MP, walked through the door now and asked us, we might or might not think seriously about doing it. If your local councillor walked through the door and asked you now, you might not think about doing it. If your mum walked through the door, you'd do it. But actually, we should do the things that God wants us to do, not out of fear, but out of a place of love for who he is. But using that idea of family, do you know at home it's very easy to do things for your kids? It's very easy to do things that you know have a benefit to you. And God asks us to actually go and make disciples and to change the world and bring God's kingdom here. And that starts at home. It starts actually with you and with me. It starts in the way that you organize your mind, the way that you organize your life, the way that you organize your decisions, the way that you organize your finances, the value that you place on education, church attendance, what you make time for, how much your personal Bible reading and worship at home is. And it starts in all those secret places that make you. And then it extends outwards into those sphere of influence that you have beyond, into your family, into your household, down your street, into your workplace. Living in God's kingdom, though, it means that we need to live realizing that we are supposed to be people that are under his protection, under and with his provision, and under and with his purpose. We don't live aimlessly. We don't live scared, and we don't live lacking. We live protected. We live with God's provision, and we live with his purpose. We should be people that are filled with hope for all that God has ahead in his plan for us. Because his plan wasn't just for you personally, wasn't just for his church, but was actually for planet Earth, for his full kingdom to rule. In 1 Colossians it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is in all things, and in him all things hold together." So, just as we start to get to the end of this, I want to challenge you about something that is, a kingdom rule happens often because of ambassadors. If you want to know what the king's view is, what the king's opinion on something is, what's happening in a kingdom that's far away, you go to the embassy, you go and see the ambassador, and it's their job to find out and to know what that kingdom, what that rule in place is all about. So I want to remind you of this. In 2 Corinthians 5:50, it said, "We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So when you're a kingdom representative, you're actually one of the ambassadors of God's kingdom. That is who you are. There's no wonder when Jesus then taught about, you're the light of the world, a town built on a hill, shine your light out to everybody, because actually he wants himself and his rule to be known to everybody. So the band are going to come up in a minute and they're going to play that song that we sang at the beginning. But I want to challenge you today that I want to see God's kingdom come even more in my life, even more in my family, even more down my street, even more in my workplace, even more in my church, even more in Wakefield, even more on planet Earth. But that all starts with me and you challenging ourselves to do what Jesus told us to do at the start of the Lord's Prayer and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know that God has great plans ahead for us. They're going to fill us with the very best of all that we need. They're going to bring us a full life. I want his kingdom to be built in my life. That's what this song says. I don't want his kingdom to be represented by somebody else. I want it to be represented by me. I want to be his ambassador. I want to see God's kingdom built right here, in my heart, in my life, in my example, in my family, down my street. I want to put Jesus first, and I want to bring his kingdom on earth. And that's what I'm going to challenge you guys to do today. We're going to sing this song, and I want you in a minute to be able to stand up, and I want you to be able to declare that as your declaration today, to say, I want to see the kingdom of God in my heart. I want to do something more. And I don't just want to sing it on a Sunday. I want to live it on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and every day for the rest of my life. Thank you, Pastor Dan.